When you fall in love with and choose to marry somebody who already has kids, what's the proper expectation about your relationship with those children? That's the issue Laura Petherbridge had to deal with when she became an instant stepmom to brothers who were 11 and 13 years old.
I don't want somebody to hear that it's okay to be mean to them or cruel or never love them or hate them or anything like that. It just means you love them differently. I didn't fall in love with them the moment I laid eyes on them. I chose to love my two stepsons. I had to pray about loving them.
This is Family Life Today. Our hosts are David Ann Wilson. I'm Bob Lapine. We'll hear today from Laura Petherbridge and Ron Deal about the challenges parents face when they become instant step-parents. Stay with us. And welcome to Family Life Today. Thanks for joining us. Wanted to get you guys caught up with what has been going on with season two of Ron Deal's podcast, Family Life Blended. I don't know whether you guys subscribe to this, but season two has been out for a while now, and it's really encouraging for us to be getting the feedback we're getting from listeners who are regularly saying, this is the lifeline we have been looking for. This is what we need. I think we lose sight of the fact that folks who are in step and blended marriages, they face unique pressures, and they're looking for somebody who says, I understand what you're going through, and we want to be here to help.
Yeah, and I would say thank God for Ron Deal and that ministry, because there are very few people talking to the complicated issues of a step-blended family, and he is on the pulse and speaking that language.
I've recommended his podcast to so many people, and they were unaware that there's any help for them, and they were so encouraged.
Well, in episode 16 of the podcast, Ron talked with a co-author of his, Laura Petherbridge. Together they wrote the book, The Smart Stepmom. And they had a conversation. In fact, we're going to let our listeners hear some excerpts from this podcast today, because I think so many of our listeners are dealing with these issues. They had a conversation about stepmoms who have never experienced giving birth themselves. They don't have any biological kids or any adopted kids that they bring into a marriage. So all of a sudden, they're in a step marriage, and they're moms instantly to somebody else's kids. And there are unique challenges that come with that, practically, emotionally. Ron Deal and Laura Petherbridge had an extended conversation about that. And they started at one point in the conversation talking about the difference between a mom who comes into a step relationship as a childless mom and the couple who may be child-free for any particular reason.
And you just got me all confused. So we're going to find out exactly the difference between those two.
Hopefully they can clarify this.
A childless stepmom is a woman who would like to have a child or would have wanted to have a child, but cannot.
Okay.
Physically cannot, either because of her age, her husband's had a vasectomy, or, you know, just there are reasons why they cannot have another hour's baby. They cannot bring a child into that the new union. The child-free stepmom is someone who chose not to have children.
Okay.
A large reason for that may be because they don't want their child being raised in a stepfamily. They just don't want the child to have to deal with siblings that are in two homes, and they feel that's too confusing. And or, you know, it may be a combination. She may be older and wasn't sure if she wanted to be childless, but, you know, she's choosing not to have a baby. It's not a big ache in her heart that she doesn't have a child.
Okay.
So that's the difference.
All right. So let's zero in on the childless stepmom for a minute. In one of your blogs, you share some quotes from childless stepmoms and kind of what their feeling is about it. Let me just read a few and then have you react to them. One said, I'll never experience the bond my husband has experienced with his first wife by having a child together, right? That's something that is a magical bond, if I could say it that way, a spiritual bond. And so she's missing out on that. Another woman said, I feel cheated. I must live the mommy life, but I don't get to fully embrace them as my children. They keep me at arm's length, and they don't want a deeper relationship because they already have a mom. Yeah, so she's definitely feeling the lack of that. And then this third one, I'd love for you to comment on this one. My husband simply doesn't get it. He can't understand why his kids aren't enough to fill the hole in my heart and the emptiness of my womb. I crave a baby of my own. He gets mad at me and he says, "Why aren't my kids enough for you?" And then I feel guilty on top of the grief. Okay, yes. What's going on there for her? And what do you think is going on for him? Why would he put that sort of expectation or pressure on her?
I was actually pretty surprised when I got into stepfamily ministry at how many husbands think that his kids are going to fill her mother desire. I think because he views her as a loving mother, you know, these children sometimes will love her. They'll call her mom. They'll, you know, and so he wants his new wife to fill that mommy gap for his children so badly because he's not happy with his ex-wife, either because he thinks she's a bad mom or, you know, it's not his wife anymore. Because he desires for his new wife to be the mom to his kids so badly, he assumed she was going to feel the same way, that it was going to fill that gap for him. And so I think this is purely a male versus female thing. I think it is purely that a man cannot understand the hole in a woman's heart when she craves a baby and cannot have one. I'm not saying they don't hurt. I'm just saying that I don't think he gets it. I don't think that's his fault. And it often makes her feel worse when he says that.
Yeah.
Because she then feels like she's disappointing him.
Right. So now it's another disappointment added on top of that.
Absolutely. And I know very few stepmoms who view their stepchildren in exactly the same way they do their own. I know many stepmoms who love their stepkids, view them as family, love them, would do anything for them. But when you ask, do you have the same emotions towards your biological children as you do your stepchildren, they will say no. It's a different type of love. It's a different type of bond. It's different.
Let's camp out there for just a second because that just shocked somebody listening right now.
Yes, it did.
They just heard, whoa, it's not the same. And I always thought it should be the same or would be the same, either of myself or of, if it's a dad, of my wife. And you just kind of implied that that's normal for that difference to be experienced in a woman who's both a mother and a stepmother. And I think you're right. I think it is different. It does not mean that they don't love one another, just like parents who adopt a child love them. If they have biological children, they also know the unique difference that comes with that automatic form of love that just because they share DNA, like it's really an indescribable experience. But it is qualitatively different. But again, you can act in love, choose to love, have strong, strong feelings for one another, be all in terms of that relationship. And yet, there's some sort of visceral difference in how you experience that love with a stepchild and versus a biological child. By the way, this goes two ways. I think you'd agree with me. Do you agree? This goes two ways. Stepchildren can have incredible love and passion for their stepparents, and yet they have a visceral, unexplained difference in how they feel and the level of commitment that they experience and the desire and passion that they have for a relationship with their biological parent. It's a two-way street.
Yes, absolutely. I call it a hardwired bond.
Yeah.
It's there the moment they took a breath, even before, yeah, you know, the child comes out of the womb.
Right.
There's this bond with that child. And you mentioned adoption. See, the difference in adoption is that the husband and wife went together and saw this baby for the first time together as a couple. This was a common thread between them. We're both adopting this baby together. Where in a step family, this is a child my husband had with another woman. And let's face it, he had to have sex with her in order to have this baby.
Right.
And so there's an intimacy there that causes that distance to some degree.
Mm-hmm.
So when we place the label on stepmoms that they should love their stepchildren exactly the same way they do their own, that is terribly unrealistic. I chose to love my two stepsons. I had to pray about loving them. I had to pray past anything they do that reminds me of their mother.
Mm-hmm.
I because that was my husband's ex-wife. And so there's always going to be that little bit of jealousy factor, a little bit of competitive factor that you don't have with a biological child, even an adopted child. So when I say that stepmoms love their stepchildren differently, that doesn't mean it's not a love. It's, as you and I talk about in the book, it's a chosen love.
Mm-hmm.
I had to work to love my stepkids.
Right.
And I, after 33 years, I now love them and their children very much, but it didn't happen naturally. I didn't fall in love with them the moment I laid eyes on them, like I did even when my niece was born. The first time I laid eyes on her, I loved her. I couldn't believe you could love somebody so fast and so quick and so fully. But I didn't have that. They were 11 and 13.
Yeah.
Who's going to expect that to be exactly the same? So, yeah, I don't want somebody to hear that it's okay to be mean to them or cruel or never love them or hate them or anything like that. It just means you love them differently.
Right, right. So to just put a little wrap on this conversation for maybe a biological dad who's listening, what would you say to him if his wife is childless and he's beginning to understand her pain just a little bit better based on what we've been talking about? What would you encourage him to do in terms of how he loves her?
First, I would recommend that he ask God to give him the eyes of her heart, the eyes of a woman. Imagine this was your sister or your, you know, cousin who can't have a baby. Have that same empathy and that same compassion for that you would have for your own sister or a woman in your life who desperately wants a baby but can't have one. Second of all, recognize that as much as she loves your children, these are children you had with another woman. And women have a fierce competitive thing with each other. I don't know why. I can't give you the, you know, anatomy of why that occurs. But women can be much more catty about this thing than men can be. That's actually why I think children embrace a stepdad more easily than they do a stepmom, because there's more competition there between the women. You don't see competition in the men nearly as much. So I really think he needs to focus and hear her. That's all she wants you to do is hear her, hear her heart, hear her empty womb, and stop trying to make your children be enough for her. Let her grieve that empty womb.
Join her in the grieving process.
That's right. And so you don't understand that grieving process because you didn't have an emptiness in that area,
mm-hmm.
you were able to become a dad.
Yeah.
Remember how exciting that was for you to become a dad or to find out you were going to be a dad for the first time. Focus on that and recognize she has lost that. Mm-hmm. It is a grief for her. And so God, I believe, will give a husband that those eyes and that heart if he prays for it. And maybe even read some Bible scriptures about women who couldn't have the baby in the scriptures, in the Old Testament, and how they're lamenting to the point of where somebody thought she was drunk. She's crying so hard, you know, in some of the Old Testament scriptures. So he's got to join her in that grief or at least have compassion for it, because if not, she's going to feel isolated from him.
Well, let me step in here for just a second. We're listening to an extended portion of one of Ron Deal's podcasts, the Family Life Blended podcast, conversation he's having with author and speaker Laura Petherbridge, who co-wrote The Smart Stepmom with him. And I think Laura's exactly right. Guys don't fully understand the loss that a woman can feel if she has not been able to be a mom. I don't know what it is. For a guy not to be a dad, there can be loss there. I'm not trying to minimize that, but I think there's something profoundly deeper for a woman who says, I'm not a mom, I've never had kids of my own. There's a grief there.
And I think for a man to be saying, but you have my kids, they're my kids, I don't think that sometimes a man can understand that that is true and it can be beautiful, but there is a lamenting and a loss and a grieving process that takes place in a woman's heart. Mm-hmm. That can really be hard. And I don't know why that is. I don't know what men, if they can compartmentalize that. But for us as women, I think it's really, really important for a man to grieve with us.
The verse that comes to mind for me as I'm listening to Ron and Laura have this conversation is 1 Peter 3, where Peter says to husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way. And Dave, for us to do that as guys, we have to understand that how you feel about something should not be minimized or dismissed. You shouldn't say, well, yeah, that's not that big a deal. No, you need to step in and say, I know this is hard for you.
Yeah, it's the walk a mile in their shoes type mm-hmm. idea. It's interesting. I just preached this year on Mother's Day on Hannah. Mm-hmm. It's what Laura was just, you know, referring to, her anguish as she cries out not being able to have a child. And I said in that sermon, I'm looking at my notes. I said, moms carry a burden that we cannot see. I can't tell you the number of moms that came up and said, thank you for speaking out loud the weight I carry as a mom, some wanting to be a mom and can't. And yet it is a unbelievable burden. And so that's what we're addressing today. It is something that we have to speak out and understand.
I want our listeners to hear another excerpt from the podcast. Again, this is the Family Life Blended podcast, episode 16, Ron Deal talking with Laura Petherbridge. And Laura's story is an interesting story. She had a very difficult childhood, and as a result, she was child-free, not childless, but child-free. And she said that's a different approach, a different way of thinking, and needs to be understood differently.
Let's talk a little bit about the child-free stepmom. Some just haven't maybe had a chance to have a child. Maybe she's young, just hasn't had been married and hasn't had an opportunity to have a child yet. But there are others who are choosing not to have a child. They've made a choice to do that. That's been your story, correct?
Yes, that's correct. I grew up and I had a very painful childhood, and that's not uncommon for women that have had a painful childhood, that they either go in one direction or the other. Mm-hmm. They either don't want any children or they want lots of children. So for me, I was pretty young when I decided I don't want to bring a child into the world. Not because I didn't think I would be a good mother, but because to me, the world was painful. And so I didn't want to do that to somebody I loved. Now, again, I was young. I was in a lot of pain. God hadn't healed a lot of things in my heart yet. But then when I married Steve and he had two sons, I knew what it was to be in a stepfamily because my dad had remarried twice after the divorce with my mom.
Mm-hmm.
And then the reason I didn't want to have a child was coupled with I don't want to bring a baby into the stepfamily dynamic. It's not because I don't love my husband. It's not because I don't think I'd be a good mom. I don't want a child to have to experience siblings, half siblings that come and go. And I knew what it was to have my dad add an hour's baby in his second marriage. And you automatically feel like, oh, he's got a new baby. He probably doesn't love me as much now. You know, how am I going to compete?
Yeah, jealousy. Then.
Yeah.
Yeah, being pushed out. Yeah.
And I loved the baby. It wasn't that I'd had bad feelings against the baby that mm-hmm. they had together, that my stepmom and dad had together. I was 18 when they had that child. And so it just was very like, okay, this is one more layer of losing my dad to this new family. And so, again, I'm 18. I'm thinking through an 18-year-old brain.
Right.
But to me, it just felt like one more loss.
Yeah.
And I did not want to do that to Steve's sons. I didn't want them to compete with a new baby. A
couple of quotes that you shared on your blog from child-free stepmoms. I am childless by choice, and I wonder what my future will look like when I get older and frail. I have no kids of my own to take care of me, and I'm doubtful his kids will help. I think that's a very real concern for stepmoms, stepparents of all kind, but stepmoms in particular. And that's, yes, you're childless by choice, and yet there's some implication for what happens in your future.
Absolutely. And the older you get, the more that phrase rings true.
Mm-hmm.
I'm 63. My husband is 72. The chance of him dying before me is, you know, statistically greater.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it does cross my mind. I do think of those things that any woman would think of: who's going to take care of me when my mm-hmm. husband dies, or mm-hmm. how, what will my life be like? When I was very young, I used to let that paralyze me with fear. I don't do that anymore. God has clearly revealed to me, I took care of you when you were 21. I'm going to take care of you when you're 81. So I've had to trust. It's a trust factor with God. But it's a very real aspect of a childless woman's life, whether it was by choice or not. And most statistics will show, I've read several financial articles about kids who feel obligated to take care of their parents. Most stepkids do not feel obligated. They don't feel it's their responsibility.
At least not to the same degree as a biological parent. It's true.
And you know what? I've had two stepmoms. I totally see where that way of thinking would be accurate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've got my own mother to take care of. You know, I'm not going to be taking care of two mothers or three mothers, you
yeah.
know. So
yeah.
I get that. And so if I let it, that would paralyze me with fear. But I have chosen not to. And I have to pray about that when that little bit of fear pops back up. And God has been so faithful to me throughout my life that I have that history to look back on and trust him with it. I don't expect my stepkids, if they do it, great, but I don't have that expectation that they will step up. Now, I'm fairly close with my two grandkids. Both of Steve's sons each have a child, and I am close with his kids. I am Nana to them. Hmm. I am not step-Nana. So it's possible, you know, it's
yeah.
possible that the grandkids will be my extended family when I get older. But again, that's in God's hands. I can't control that.
Well, that's interesting. We're listening to a second segment from a conversation Ron Deal had with author and speaker Laura Petherbridge as a part of the Family Life Blended podcast. And by the way, there's a link on our website at familylifetoday.com if you want to listen to the entire podcast episode. Laura talks about how a stepmom who is a childless stepmom can often feel like a maid or a chauffeur and not like a real part of the family.
Hmm.
But you stop and think about extended family and about death and about what is the relationship between stepkids and their stepparents once the bio mom or dad is gone. And it's not just a question of what's the right thing to do in that situation, but there's the emotional sense of, am I a loved person if my stepkids aren't entering into and engaging in this? And Dave, I'm looking at you because...
Well, Bob, I'm listening to Laura, and I'm that stepson.
Yeah.
And yeah, I feel different about my mom, my bio mom, and my stepmom. It shouldn't be that way. It's different. It just is. And that's what she's addressing. And yet I love her perspective is I'm not going to trust in my kids to be my source of peace, really. I'm going to trust God. I mean, that's true for all of us.
Yeah.
It's not just a stepmom or not. It's all of us have to, at the end of the day, say, my life, my happiness, my peace is not going to come from children or from parents or from a spouse. It ultimately comes from God. She's wise in that.
And I don't think it's just step-parents that are thinking about that. I have three sons. And we were just talking to our financial planner, and he said, well, I'm assuming that your sons will take care of you as you get older. And I said, I don't know about that.
Sure. That'd be nice.
But I think that's something that we all face. Father God, you are the one that cares for us and takes care of us.
And we can't allow our identity, whether it's as a stepmom, stepdad, our worth as a human being, to be wrapped up in how somebody else decides to relate to us at any point in life. We have to have our identity anchored and rooted in who we are as a child of God and in the extended family that all of us are a part of, and that's the family of God. Mm-hmm. So that if your stepkids, now that their bio mom or dad is gone, if they don't have as much interaction with you,
it doesn't mean you're not dearly loved.
And it doesn't mean that you're without a family. Mm-hmm. Because in the family of God, you've got brothers and sisters and others who can pour into you. I hope our listeners will listen to the entire podcast that features Ron and Laura. One of the things they talk about in the extended version of the podcast is what a stepmom can do when the biological mom is poisoning the kids against the new stepmom. You can go to our website, familylifetoday.com, to find out more about the Family Life Blended podcast. Subscribe to the podcast or listen to this particular episode. Again, all the details are available at familylifetoday.com. We also have copies of the book that Ron and Laura wrote together called The Smart Stepmom. You can order it from us online at familylifetoday.com or call to order. 1-800-FL-TODAY is our number. And Ron Deal has also just released a new book on stepfamily financial planning. There are a lot of financial issues that factor into forming a stepfamily. And Ron, along with co-authors Greg Pettis and David Edwards, have addressed these issues in the Smart Stepfamily Guide to Financial Planning. We have that book in our Family Life Today Resource Center as well. So again, go to familylifetoday.com for information on all of the resources we have available, or call if you'd like to order books. 1-800-FL-TODAY is our number. That's 1-800-F as in family, L as in life, and then the word today. We've got a big weekend going on this weekend for couples attending Family Life Weekend to Remember Marriage Getaways. We've got getaways happening this weekend in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, Louisville, Kentucky, Estes Park, Colorado, San Diego, and South Padre Island in Texas. So thousands of couples will be with us over the next 72 hours. Pray for these couples, if you will. Just pray that God would do a great work in their marriage this weekend. And thanks to those of you who make everything we do here at Family Life possible. You make these getaways possible. You make Family Life Today, our website, our resources. All of that happens when you donate to support the ministry of Family Life Today. And we're grateful for you. And speaking of gratitude, go to our website, familylifetoday.com. We've got a free download right now for those of you who would like to make the most of this season of the year, helping your children understand what it means to be thankful. We put together our family gratitude plan. There are articles and activities, things that are available for you to do during the month of November to help your kids increase their gratitude quotient. We could all use a little bit of that, couldn't we? Again, you can download the family gratitude plan when you go to familylifetoday.com. And we hope you have a great weekend this weekend. Hope you and your family are able to worship together in your local church over the weekend. And I hope you can join us back on Monday. Dennis and Barbara Rainey are going to join us to talk about how we can maximize the Thanksgiving holiday. That's one of their passions. So I hope you can tune in to be with us for that. I want to thank our engineer today, Keith Lynch, along with our entire broadcast production team. On behalf of our hosts, Dave and Ann Wilson, I'm Bob Lapine. We'll see you back next time for another edition of Family Life Today. Family Life Today is a production of Family Life of Little Rock, Arkansas, a Crew ministry. Help for today, hope for tomorrow.